2 Corinthians 11 on Through the Word. Have you ever had one of those days that just feels like a boxing match? Some days when I'm recording these feel a little bit like that. But that's okay, because I think Paul felt about the same when he wrote this chapter. And speaking of Paul, how do you respond when your calling is challenged? When voices of doubt mock your skills, your abilities, and even your calling from God? What do you say? And that's what Paul is dealing with in chapter 11. Paul started the church in Corinth and grew it for more than a year. Now he's off on mission, and some new leaders have stepped in, and the new guys are talking trash about Paul while he's away. Paul could just blow it off, except that people are listening, the people he loves and cares for. The new guys trash Paul, boast about their own skills, then come in and teach some weird, twisted-up version of Christianity. And the people listen. So how should Paul respond without sinking to their level? If your ministry was under attack, what would you do? There's a lot of raw emotion in this chapter, so get ready. In the first part of the chapter, Paul explains why this is so important to him. Verse 2, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." The picture here is of a father and daughter. In Jewish culture, a father would betroth his daughter to be married to an honorable young man. It was the father's responsibility to keep his daughter's heart pure, a virgin saved for marriage. A father who failed was shamed for life. So Paul himself is the dad in this picture, and the church in Corinth is the daughter, betrothed to Jesus as a pure and devoted bride. Paul has divine jealousy for the church. That's the heart. That is why the rest of the chapter feels like someone hit a raw nerve. Pastors, read this well. This is your sacred calling, like a father, to keep the hearts of the church pure for Christ. For Paul, it was a driving passion. So how was this church losing their purity? Verse 4, "For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." Paul says that listening to these guys who preach another Jesus is like cheating on the true Jesus. If a strange man showed up, claiming to be your daughter's fiancé, used the same name and everything, and started flirting with your daughter, and your daughter falls for it, you'd kick his tail fin in. I hope you would. And when someone tells you about a Jesus, but he's not the living God, or he's not resurrected, or he's Satan's brother, that's not Jesus. Don't let the beard fool you. Or if the preacher says that the Spirit told him that you can get rich by giving the preacher your money, that's the wrong spirit. And if you have to work or pay for salvation, that's the wrong gospel. So kick them all out. So Paul has to make an argument against the false teachers. According to verse 5, these guys called themselves super apostles. Dun, dun, dun. How do you argue with that? They were trashing Paul's speaking skills, so he responds to that in verse 6. "I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge?" So Paul wasn't an eloquent speaker, but it's not about style. It's content that matters. And Paul knew the word. And they also knocked Paul because he didn't charge money for his preaching. He worked his tail off at other jobs so that he could preach for free. Other churches supported him because they believed in him. And the false teachers said, "A free preacher is a worthless preacher." Crazy. But Paul refuses to quit. In verse 12, he insists that he will keep on doing what he is doing. Then Paul makes a direct attack on his accusers who boast about their own skills. Verse 13, "For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Don't fall for the disguise just because they say Jesus and know how to sound eloquent. They make their twisted gospel look like light, and that's exactly Satan's plan. He is a deceiver, and these teachers are Satan's servants masquerading as Christian leaders. The fact that they brag on their own skills should be a clue. Back in chapter 10, Paul said, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." And to show the self-boasting for what it really is, Paul does a little of his own. Now, read carefully here. Paul says in verse 17, "In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool." That means Paul is going to be sarcastic here, act like an idiot to show how foolish it is for God's servant to brag on himself. 18, "Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast." So Paul does boast, but not about his skills or his strength. What he does here is almost shocking. Picture a big bully, ripped with muscle, picking a fight with a small man. The little guy is hopeless in this fight, but he steps up with confidence, and he begins to boast about his weakness, as if somehow his weakness makes him invincible. That's what Paul does. Skip down to look at verse 30. "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." Why would Paul do that? Instead of talking about his strength, he gets honest about his weakness. Instead of boasting on success and all the perks of ministry, he shares his hardships. He breaks the sarcasm and gets very real. Look at verse 24. "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my own concern for all the churches." Paul finally lets loose. He worked himself to the bone for the church. I can relate, if only a little. I'm not great at this ministry thing, but I'm called to it. The version that I'm recording right now is a re-record. The first time I recorded this, I was literally working 7 different jobs, and our house still got foreclosed. I'm not proud of that, and I don't want a pity party, but that's real life in ministry. Praise God, things did get better, and I'm re-recording in better times now. Listen, I don't have it all together, but I give it all to God. This life can be crazy hard, but it's also crazy good. I fight every day, and sometimes I lose more than I win, but I just keep fighting. Toil and hardship, sleepless nights. Hey, I have it way better than Paul did, but I don't care who you are. Ministry life is hard, and faith is a fight. It's tempting to hide my weakness, but Paul lays it all out, so I figured I would too. If you want a slick speaker with 5 steps to making life neat and pretty, you got the wrong guy, in me or in Paul. Look at verse 29. "Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.